Okay, Steve. I mean, Andy. Good evening, and welcome to the Yellow Dogs. No, it's not easy, is it, to go out in the world during the day, go to the grocery store and do the things we have to do to stay alive, and notice how fast everything is. Everything is just seems like it's on high speed, and it seems like it's getting faster and faster. And nothing's wrong with that, but it's just that it's so sweet when we choose to spend a little time of our day or even week just knowing what it's like being still with oneself. So you're courageous. Thank you. And we've been talking about the Eightfold Path, and we're on the fourth one, I believe. And let's don't get hung up on the right, because there's better words, but no one can think of better words than right. But it's just pointing us towards finding out for ourselves if this is true. And it doesn't hold any truth unless, of course, we have directly experienced it. So it's just a pointing game. Points us towards finding out the truth. So we talked about the first one, right view. And right view is just the most important thing is we're all connected. We're all in this together. And that connectedness is so sweet. And to just remember, be close to that. Right thought, well, and right thinking, then we have wholesome thoughts and unwholesome thoughts. And so we begin to look at those that we are choosing to be with. And then right speech, truth, what matters, wanting truth. And then tonight is right action, the fourth one. And it's traditionally taught as a major aspect of the precepts, the five precepts. And the precepts are refraining from taking life. Yeah, even a mosquito. Refraining from taking what has not been given. Avoiding sexual misconduct. Avoiding harmful speech. And refrain from using intoxicants that can cloud the mind or cause carelessness. So I decided to go ahead and look up Wikipedia what avoiding and reframing kind of means to us.
Refraining.
I've got reframing.
Hope you got the right word.
No, I hope I looked at the... Yeah, I probably didn't. Well, reframing, probably right. Avoiding means to just keep away from or stop oneself from doing something. Refraining means to help yourself, support the effort of doing things that we know that are not in our best interest or others. I thought you looked at this talk, Randy.
I did, but I didn't do a spell check.
So the main point is that these are not the Ten Commandments. they're not designed to, there shall not be, because of the fact that it has everything to do with our intention, from where truth comes through our own existence. And so it's important to know not to put frames around these Eightfold Path. And so they're not the Ten Commandments. And Jack reminds us that anybody who really meditates deeply sees that within all of us, no one's excluded, there is rage, fear, greed, and cruelty. And so that's important for us to know, because when we deny things about ourselves, then we fall into what's called delusion. That's not the truth. But what we learn and practice is getting to know and how to relate to those things that we've come with, and where we don't cause more suffering for ourselves than others. So to live in this complicated society, we've got the politics, the economy, the social reality. Really, the major part of our spiritual practice is, how do we relate to other people and all the other beings around us, and not harming? It sounds kind of simple, doesn't it? Yet we look at the world around us and we feel this despair. So it's time to inquire. It's time to open ourselves up to, why does this harm happen? Why are we hurting ourselves and others? And so perhaps there's no one of us here tonight who could not think of some instance of where we're not sensitive to what's around us, what's going on. Why do we hurt one another? And have we ever looked? Well, that's what the practice allows us to do, is start looking for those things within us, so we're not either surprised by them or that we have the sacred pause to be able to relate to them and not to take them personally, because they come with the package of the being a human being. So, do we ever hurt people? And so Jack says, usually when we look at that, when we really look at it, a lot of the source is our own pain. Maybe not all of it, but to just say some things for us to keep away from or stop oneself from doing. So we really look at it. A lot of the source is our own pain, and we do hurt one another. And are we not in pain ourselves when that happens? Well, let's find out. Let's start paying attention to that. And of course, the pain that we have generates fear. And so we're afraid of some more pain, or we're afraid of some pain we've experienced in the past. Then out of fear comes aggression. And then it can be aggression of hatred. Or there aggression of greed, or hanging on, or trying to keep... But it's an effort just for us to keep ourselves safe, to get what we need so we won't have to experience pain. So this is important stuff for us to study within ourselves, because then we have an opportunity to look at them in a way where we don't feel like that's who we are, but we know that they're there. And just acknowledging that we are perfectly imperfect frees us from the pain of making mistakes or doing it wrong as if it shouldn't be there. So, where to look? Well, Jack says, look at our hearts. And I know we say that a lot. Look, not the mind, but the heart. But this is what the practice does, as you well know. It puts us in touch with the heart. Now, not always. We're not always walking, talking hearts. Maybe we might want to be, but it's not. It doesn't seem like it's possible. Except, you know, the Dalai Lama says his practice is all about kindness. So I'm sure with practicing, and that being one of the major practice in daily life, certainly would have an influence. But Jack says anybody, Jack Kornfield says, anybody who really meditates deeply sees that within us there is rage, there is fear, there is greed, and there is cruelty. And so, has any one of us who's meditated for a long time not seen cruelty in ourselves? Sure. That capacity to be cruel. So, it's pulling ourselves out of denial and delusion that we're not capable of the long range of emotions that we've come with. Didn't ask for it, but they're there. And to get to know them, to recognize them and allow them, to investigate them, and we begin to see their true nature, they don't cause us continued suffering. So we need to look at this sense of me, mine, and the idea or the thinking that are keeping close to our hearts, that we're all connected. And we need to look at our own pain. And we need to see how we separate ourselves or how we deny what others can see within us. It's a delusion. That's why it's so important to have someone in your life that loves you dearly and you know, but at the same time can tell you what they see that you don't see, because we all have blind spots, whether we want to know it or not. So who in the world do we consider we, and who do we consider them? So the basis for virtue is right action, and it's both mystical and practical, in that it comes truly from non-harming. It comes out of a sense of our connectedness with one another and our connectedness with all of life. We're all in this together. And so it's mystical and practical, and it ties those levels of our experiences together. We're all in the same boat. If you know one human being honestly and clearly, you really truly are in touch with all human beings, but there has to be a level of pure seeing, clarity. And that's what our practice does. It enables us to see clear. And so the Buddha taught the path to happiness is through body, through speech, through the heart, through the mind, all of it together. And the tools he gave us were those of virtue, of learning how to speak, and acting kindly and wisely, of generosity, of learning how to give and love, because we're happier. We're much happier. But then at the same time, the discriminating wisdom is we can't always be there. And that's okay too, because those are our teachings. Instead of blaming and shaming ourselves, the practice allows us to be more human and allows us to see these things that are very important to see, but not to judge ourselves harshly or others. So, virtue makes us happier. Acting honestly and truly and not harming makes us happier. And we have to find that out for ourselves, but I kind of think we already know that. We've seen that. Generosity makes us happy. And then we have meditation. It's the calming of the mind and opening of the heart, because it's a beautiful way to open the heart. And that's again, indescribable what happens with an open heart. Things are not as they appear through the mind. So there's not only a sense of joy that comes from living an honest and straightforward life, but there's power in it. We feel empowered as human beings because we're more in touch with our true nature, of who we really are. So the element of right action, or virtue, really holds two parts of it. One is non-harming, which we call restraint, and the other is the positive side of that of restraining oneself. But of caring or acting, which we call compassion or love. And we know where our hang-up is we can love the whole world, but yet we've forgotten our own loveliness. We've forgotten that all become a full human being, complete human being, we have to include ourselves. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of scientific information, if you want to call it science, that says how important that is because of the fact that we can give it freely if we have it. It's easier. And so we begin to at least look at it, at least add a little bit of kindness to ourselves and consideration. And we know the difference. We know we've seen narcissistic behaviors. You know, we see it in ourselves, but it doesn't mean that's who we are. And so refrain from that which is unskillful or that which harms. Do good and purify your heart. That's it. That's what the Dharmapod says. I didn't say it right. Dharmapod? Okay. And one last thing. Jack says, conquer yourself, not others. Discipline yourself and learn true freedom. And we're looking at ourselves very closely and intimately. And that takes a lot of courage to step out of that false sense of security that we've created around the illusion of who we are. So thank goodness we have a way of looking at ourselves honestly. So right action. So thank you for being good listeners. We are going to open it up to you and let's discuss this. Let's bring it home. Thank you.